bed bugs. Whether we've seen them, whether we've been bitten by them, or whether we've just heard about them, bed bugs are back in America. About 35 years ago in 1970, bed bugs had been eradicated from our nation. About 16 years ago, the same time as 9/11, approximately, bed bugs reached the coast of the United States. In 2006, about 10 years ago, bed bugs reached our area. If you're not aware of it, bed bugs in our area are a huge problem. If you purchase used furniture, maybe from a garage sale, you buy a mattress, you buy a sofa, you buy a dresser, or even if you go to a yard sale and you buy a secondhand book, you might be bringing home bed bugs. If a house begins to develop a bed bug problem, it can be pretty costly. $1,500, maybe closer to $2,000 to have your house exterminated for bed bugs. In our area, exterminators are getting a lot of calls, a significant number of calls for bed bugs. We know bed bugs exist. We know that they are an unpleasant problem. But have you ever wondered where bed bugs came from? Some would suggest that bed bugs just evolved. After a process of time and chance, they were not created. They just happened to come into existence. There is a new book that made the rounds recently, and it goes to great lengths to tell children there is no creator, there is no God. Whatever exists, I don't know that bed bugs are specifically mentioned in the book, but it affirms that whatever exists, it is here because of chance and evolution. Last month, the book that I'm describing, it's a 26-page book, a children's book. The title is Annabelle and Aiden, The Story of Life. This book has been described as an inspirational storybook, and its design, its purpose is to teach basic evolution. This book, if you were to read through it, there is a quote-unquote a wise owl. And the wise owl in this book teaches two girls about evolution using rhyming texts and whimsical illustrations. The wise owl, as you look at this book, claims it all began with a lifeless blob millions of years ago. Back in 1776, there were some men who came up with what we have described as the Declaration of Independence. In this document, and we've pulled some recent sermons from this because kids are back in school, we're in the midst of a presidential election. In this document, there is information about a creator. Now, about 240 years after that document was written, we have some other men and women, people who have taken prominent roles in society, and they are doing their best to teach people, some of whom are young people, that life began millions and millions of years ago from a lifeless blob. The Bible affirms that man is created. We heard Michael's reading, Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. But there are some people who say that's not true. There is no creator. There are people who are claiming there was no creation. Everything just sort of existed, and now everything has evolved to the state where we know what is to be. Both ideas can't be right. If creation is true, evolution is false. If evolution is true, then there is no God who is involved with creation. If you've ever listened to some of the evolutionary claims, if you've ever looked at some of the documents written by people involved with evolution, you know, or you should know, that not everybody has the same beliefs when it comes to evolution. There are individuals who love to claim that evolution is a fact, and I hear that quite often when people talk about evolution. But it's interesting that as they talk about the fact of evolution, not everybody seems to be in agreement on what those facts are. I also hear as discussions take place in evolution, individuals talking about the science of evolution. But if you go back and you look at science, if you can remember some of the basic science class, science is based on three things: things that are testable, things that are repeatable, and things that are observable. That's science. You can test it, you can repeat it, and you can observe it. Evolution, though, does not fit into one of those realms, let alone all three. Not long ago, within the last year or two, I wondered if evolutionists would argue that evolution has stopped. That is, we've reached the pinnacle, we've reached the height of what man can accomplish, or if there would be some evolutionists who would hold to the idea that man can continue to progress, man can, in their mind, can continue to evolve, perhaps one day to the point where man could fly, or this would be more in line with their thinking, that man would progress beyond man, that somehow we might leave the human species and that we would be transformed into some other kind of being, and maybe that being would have wings and have the ability to fly. Well, there are some people who believe that evolution has not stopped. And there are some people who suggest that man may somehow, at some point, given enough time, evolve into some other kind of species where he might, she might, they might be able to actually one day fly. Evolutionists, as I've looked at them and listened to them and read after them sometimes, they are often full of bluster, but typically short on facts. And one question that evolutionists struggle with and usually want to avoid is the origin of life. Now, some have said, well, matter is eternal. Matter has always been here. There has never been a time when matter is not. But modern man knows that that's not true. Things are winding down. So the question when the evolutionist says, well, let me tell you where things are coming from or have come from, the question is, where did all things come from? What accounts for the origination of all things? Well, a creator, if that's true, is certainly a logical explanation, and that is the explanation set forth in the Bible. But there are some people who just can't stand the idea of God. They can't stand the idea of a creator, so they say man must be here for some other reason. And even though matter is not eternal, there was some kind of beginning at some point from somewhere, and things have just kind of all fallen into place. You know that 26-page children's book that I mentioned earlier? One of the things that fascinates me about that book is that it concedes that there was a beginning. How interesting. People who want to teach children evolution, even they will often concede that there was a beginning. Who started the beginning? Who was at the origin of all things? Who created all things? According to one school of thought from some leading people, there was a cosmic egg. And this cosmic egg had all the things that were necessary for life. And one day, this big cosmic egg, which was packed with everything, just exploded and everything worked out. Well, that was one big egg. And it just happened to contain all the right stuff. And it just happened in their mind to explode in just the right way. Multiple galaxies came from it. Billions and billions of stars were generated from it. And yet they all fell into the right place in the right way. I don't know if you knew it at the time, or maybe this is something that you've picked up since then. But back in 1990... NASA launched a satellite, and that was abbreviated as COBE, and the goal of that satellite was to try to determine what, in their mind, happened millions and billions of years ago. The Big Bang supporters, who thought that they were going to get all kinds of great information, got a big surprise. That satellite indicated that there was an explosion, which is consistent with God and how he may have created things. But what they found with that satellite back in 1990 was that the explosion was a smooth explosion. Now let that sink in for just a moment. We see explosions in our world. When those explosions are made, even on a small scale, there's chaos. Explosions are not smooth. Take something as small as a firecracker and light it off, and what do you think? What do you see? It's blasted to smithereens versus smoothness. Imagine a cosmic egg, large enough, big enough, significant enough that it packed everything that we know to exist and brought it into existence. And it was a controlled explosion. It was a smooth explosion. The origin of life sounds like exactly what we find in the scriptures, Genesis 1, verses 1 through 5. In the beginning, there was a beginning. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. For those who believe in the cosmic egg theory, they have to explain where all things came from. But for those who chafe at the idea of there being a creator, alternative explanations must be produced, and people have been doing that for a long time. If you were to go back and you were to look at the Egyptians, they thought about where life came from. They recognized that there had to be an origin. So the Egyptians taught that humanity came from white worms from the floodlands of the Nile. Well, if you were thinking about that back in the day, you might have asked, where did the white worms come from? Let's just keep backing up and figure out where everything finally originated from. In more recent times, there was a man by the name of Darwin who claimed that man has originated from apes. And the theory goes something like this. One day there was a small cell. Now don't ask where the cell came from. That is just assumed. But one day there was a small cell. It washed up on a beach somewhere during a terrible storm. And that single cell, even though it was badly battered by the storm, and it washes up on the beach, and there is this sun that's beating down on the cell, somehow it managed to survive. As incredible as that was, this single cell somehow managed to go over and get shade from trees which came from somewhere. And after about 200 million years, that single cell sprouted legs. And then that cell, without a brain, reasoned that two legs would be better than four. After about another 100 million years, the next two legs evolved, and it now had four legs. Millions of more years passed, and then finally a forest developed. Somehow, that cell, which eventually developed the four legs, developed an eye. And one day with that developed eye, it was curious about the nuts and the tree, the nuts and the fruits at which had formed on the trees. And one day the cell decided that it was going to climb one of those trees and check out the fruits and the nuts. And when that cell saw something that was interesting, couldn't get to it, wanted to explore it, another 90 million years passed and it finally formed a tail. And then with that tail, it was able to jump from where it was to see the nuts and the fruit. But one day that cell miscalculated the jump with its tail. It fell to the ground. It broke its tail. It began to walk upright. And from that great tragedy came man. And here we are now, and who knows, with millions of more years as they pass, who knows what's going to happen to man in the future. Now, that may not be exactly how evolution lays out their theory, but it is, in some respects, not very far from it. When you begin to look at what evolutionists have claimed, the theories, the ideas that they have advanced are so outrageous that if this were taught in any other realm, these people would be locked up. These people would be seen as insane because it makes no sense whatsoever. As we look at the Bible, we have a very logical explanation. We also, as we look at our time, find that when it comes to evolution, the people who support this are becoming more and more aggressive. If you go back to the children's book that I mentioned earlier, did you know that that's currently a bestseller at Amazon? A bestseller at Amazon. Last year, there was another book that was produced by evolutionists, Grandmother Fish. It says that people have come from fish, and the stuff is just being perpetuated. It's being rolled out month after month. Many of the adults here this morning, if you think back to the time that you spent in school, you probably had maybe a small amount of exposure to evolution. Maybe it was mentioned briefly in a class. Maybe you can think about a textbook where you saw the pictures of the apes becoming men, something small. Maybe you had a teacher that taught it. Or maybe you had a teacher who mentioned it briefly and said, I don't believe it, but this is what's in the textbook. Now, if you're an adult and you can remember how things were when you were in school, things have changed. Things are different. Things are a lot different. Now, I know there are some parents who look at their children and look at the school districts and think, we are in a private school or we're in a very conservative school district. And maybe it's true that several or the majority of the teachers do not hold some form of evolution. But there are dyed-in-the-wool evolutionists out there, and they're in a bunch of schools. And it takes only one teacher to begin sowing that information in the minds of people. If those evolutionists don't reach our kids while they're in school, it may be after school. It may be someone who's a neighbor. It may be an after-school activity. Science and common sense, certainly the scriptures, don't support evolution. But we live in a time where a lot of people no longer are concerned about the truth. 240 years ago, the men who were drafting the Declaration of Independence got it right. There is a creator. And from that creator, we have been endowed with, we have received unalienable rights. Throughout the Bible, we are reminded of how there is a creator. Genesis 1, verses 1 through 5. Another passage in the Old Testament is from the book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1. The wise man said, remember someone. He said, I want you to remember the Creator. In addition to that, he said, I want you to remember the Creator from a certain time. He said, I want you to remember the Creator from your youth. Learn early about God. Learn in those early years about who made you, where you came from. What is the origin of all things? Now, I'll tell you this. Modern evolutionists have wised up a good bit. Rather than spending a lot of time going after adults, as has been done in the past, we now have a generation of evolutionists who are going after kids. And they're going after them with everything they've got. They are producing literature. They are producing coloring books. They're hosting free activities at school, creating all kinds of new tools to win kids. Social media is being used. Evolutionists know that the battle for the mind is found in the generations that are coming into adulthood, and they're going into the schools. We may not think about it too often, and we may not want to think about it, but kids are back in school, and the devil is in the school. From the youngest grades to our graduate programs, the devil is at work. If you are someone who has children in the home, if you're someone who has access to grandkids, talk to your kids about creation. Talk to your kids about God. Talk to your kids about evolution. Somebody says, well, I just don't know that much about evolution. You can learn. Plenty of documents. Information is online. A lot of information out there is very helpful, and much of it is free. Evolution is a very real threat. We can prove that a creator exists. We can prove that that is the logical conclusion, and that that creator is the God of the Bible. Atheism is not not the truth. When we look at today, and I considered this and decided not to do it, but today, 15 years ago, in this country, there was a terrible terrorist attack. And that was a horrible thing. I hope that we're mindful of the families who are still suffering from the tragedy that was associated with that. But as bad as that was, and it was bad, I'd like to suggest that there is a greater terror. There is a more destructive threat. And that is the work that's being done by some evolutionists. The Bible says that God is the creator of all, or he is the creator of the ends of the earth. Isaiah 40, verse 28. And yet some have tried to compromise with evolution. Some have said, well, let's see if we can take evolution, and let's see if we can take God, and let's see if we can blend them together. That's called theistic evolution. That idea is that, well, yes, God was to some degree involved. But creation, it said, I don't support this. The Bible doesn't support this. But some have tried to claim that the Bible teaches creation was not in six literal days. The idea is advanced that God created something, put a process into motion, and then over several million years, everything just kind of worked out. Jesus didn't believe that. Do you remember how the Lord said on more than one occasion, man was from the beginning. There was a beginning. Man was from the beginning. He didn't come about after millions and millions of years. We read about days in the book of Genesis, literal 24-hour periods. The Sabbath day that God gave for the Jewish people, that was based on a seven-day period, a seven-day week. There is a God. There is a God. We sing songs about that. There is a God beyond the azure blue. And he loves us. He wants the best for us. But you know, to have access to that God, the first step is faith. Without faith, it is impossible to be well-pleasing unto him. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Maybe that's why the devil has enlisted so many helpers to try to destroy that fundamental point. When it comes to the gospel, let's deal with faith. Let's eliminate it. Let's get rid of the idea of God. There is a God. And as we're about to sing in just a moment, he's got a fountain which is free. His son died for us so that we might have eternal life. In that hymn that we're about to sing, the question is asked, will you come? Do you believe in the God of the Bible? If you do, have you acted on that belief? It's not enough just to say, I believe in God. I do believe that he created all things. That's the beginning point. That's the starting point. But with that faith, are we willing to look to that God and say, I have enough faith to live according to your will? I'm willing to conform my life to your word. And with that belief and with that repentance, with that change, we confess that Christ is the Son of God. And then we take that final step. We really believe that Jesus came. We're baptized into Christ. Galatians 3:27, so our sins can be forgiven. And then we can walk hand in hand with our Creator every single day. Do we believe in God, and are we following him? Those are the questions we want to ask and answer as we stand and sing the selected song.